Good morning, Netherlands. Goedemorgen, Nederland. Ja, wauw. I could bring my session in Flemish, but I guess my English is even better for you to understand. So I'll probably tell most of my stuff in English. If it's not even clear, just let me know. And then I can try to translate in Flemish and then Dutch, and then we'll probably work something out. I'm very happy to be here. Start with some important stuff. Prizes. That's why you're here, right? Everybody awake? Sort of, not really. Had enough coffee already? No? Be quick, go get some. No? So evaluations, I think that's the main topic. Yeah, prizes, of course. But talking about prizes, try to be active. I got some prizes by my own as well. So just trying to keep everybody awake. The first session in the morning, 7:45. It's a crazy hour to start, right? Yeah, I got the same feeling. So the topic of today, 81 features, Windows 8.1 in 81 minutes. So you all have to stay here even longer for the first session. No, I just made a small fix for the 81 minutes, just trying to find out how that works out. Now, I'm very excited to be here for a couple of reasons. Yeah, first of all, when I got the confirmation for speaking in the Netherlands, I was like, cool, they really accept a Belgian guy speaking in the Netherlands. So that's the first one. Second one, I've been quite sick the last few weeks. I had some breathing problems, infection on my lungs. And this is like my first presentation in 3 months, where I'm working as a Microsoft trainer, so talking, speaking, babbling is my day-to-day business. So I've been out of business for a few weeks. So if my voice goes down, I'm very sorry for that. I'm going to try not to start coughing, because I know that's a bit annoying for you, but now you know why, if I should start doing that. So 81 features, it's quite a lot of content to talk about. Who's already familiar with Windows 8? 8.1? So why are you here? No other interesting sessions at this time of the day? No? To see what you have missed, or maybe waiting for the update features. Who's already playing with the update? Okay, good. I can go home now, but no. Things I'm going to talk about is this. The coolest 81 features. Now, why 81 features? Are there really 81 features in Windows 8.1? Only 81? Even more? That is just because you want a cool title for your session. That's all. Thank God it's not Windows 1557 or something, right? Windows AM. A couple of words about myself. So I'm Peter de Tender from Belgium. Been working in IT for around 17 years, even a bit more than 17, on a professional basis. And actually only doing Microsoft stuff. I know a bit about other technologies, about storage, about networking, about the other obscure virtualization platform, but Microsoft is my core technology. So if people ask like, hey, what are you doing? What's your expertise? I always tell them, yeah, it's Microsoft. I don't know anything else. And for some reason, it seems to be true even. Besides doing consulting, speaking at conferences, I'm also a Microsoft trainer, already mentioned that, which actually guided me into starting Microsoft's trainer community in Belgium. And last year I moved, well, it's not really moving up to the European level. It's for free, so it's more like a hobby for networking, meeting cool friends worldwide. So that's the main thing. I like interaction, so you can send me email if you want, preferably after the session, because it's a bit hard to respond right now. Also on Twitter, some folks within Microsoft, discovered me out of the STEP program. Who has no idea what a STEP program is? You all know? You have no idea? Okay. But the easy explanation, it's a technical marketing team within Microsoft headquarters. And one of their main things is doing evangelism around the Windows operating system. So if you go to microsoft.com/Windows, all the content you find there is actually published by that team. So I'm one of the, 150 members worldwide. And after a few years in that program, someone nominated me as an MVP as well. So I'm MVP on Windows Expert IT Pro. And something else, the Tagat Yellow Pants. Who's going to Tagat Houston this year? Okay, some folks? Yeah, you, of course. Just stand up. I mean, you're on the slide. Just stand up. Come on. Don't be shy. Stand up. Yeah. So that's my fellow. He's from the Netherlands. Well, he's actually from South Africa, but he lives in the Netherlands. And last year at Tagat New Orleans, we founded the Tagat Yellow Pants team. Now, what's the idea behind the Tagat Yellow Pants? It's networking, it's community, it's sharing ideas, integrating newbies who are attending Tagat for the first time, like, hey, this is Tagat, that's the idea, and we can assist you with that. So that's my personal marketing stuff. So on with the more cool stuff. First of all, who is willing to share he's still using Windows XP on his prime business device? No one? I got a prize for you if you're still running XP. No one is using XP anymore. Okay, let's try something else. Who knows a customer or has a customer who is primarily working still with Windows XP? Yeah, you all. Yeah, because you know there's a prize to win. I know. making it a bit hard for me now. Okay, the three first guys who can come up over here. Just be quick. Three guys. I need three guys in front of the stage. Man, come on. And they tell me, like, the Netherlands are really active folks. Okay. So you'll have customers still running XP as their primary platform. Yeah, don't be afraid. I mean, I'm not biting or something. No. Okay, so I'll just stand here then. No. but normally the question would be like, what do you like about Windows XP? But you're not running it anymore, so why do you think your customer is still using XP?
Login sound?
Okay. What's your customer's reason why he's still running XP?
Well, mainly because they have still old hardware, so it's still faster on XP, and they are too lazy to upgrade.
So it's old hardware and running faster on XP. So it's like driving, I don't know, a 15-year-old car. And saying it's better than the newest Porsche, Ferrari, whatever. But it's your customer, so I don't mind. Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. And your customer's reason?
No much money to buy a new system.
Okay, so no money. I think that's... Who says money is the best reason for not migrating? Not convincing.
Embedded machines...
Probably applications that aren't compatible. Mm-hmm. Yeah?
Big machines, the new machines cost like 100,000 euros and stuff like
that. Yeah, so it's more like specific kind of devices, applications. Yeah. Sounds like a fair reason?
Yeah.
Well, okay. What can you win? No, wait a minute. What's famous in Belgium? Beer and chocolates, but because of the Easter bunny Easter vacation, I already assume you already have chocolate. So I got a bottle of beer. You got the best. I got another one for you, but I just got one. It's a voucher for an ebook. Just come to me after my session, and then I'll explain you how you can get one. So just be clear, you can go back now. Thank you very much. Small applause for the guys. Now, still on XP, I mean, we can talk about this quite a lot, but again, the main session topic is Windows 8.1. But still, there are customers running on XP who, for some reason, still need to run XP. Now, is that bad? I mean, when I did presentations about Windows 8 2 years ago, I was always talking like, yeah, you know, XP, it's bad, and you have to move away, and you have to integrate and then migrate to Windows 8. But 2 years later, I mean, yeah, the market is shifting, but still quite a lot of companies are still using XP. Now, the good thing is they are aware that XP is somehow becoming a bit like a legacy operating system, and somehow they are starting to migrate away from XP. So that's like the good thing. So I hope by the end of my session, you find a few features within the 8.1 where you can go out to your customers saying like, hey, I saw the presentation and it will probably be online in a few days or weeks, I don't know, where you can convince your customer like, I think as your business partner, this is your best feature to migrate to Windows 8.1 in your environment. So that's like one of the reasons why it's on XP. The same goes with Windows 7. I don't have any prices if you're running Windows 7. But the thing is, again, and you're all working in IT, so you know, if a customer or you in your own environment are using Windows 7, yeah, why should I migrate to Windows 8, maybe to Windows 8.1? From XP to 8.1, it's probably quite obvious, but from 7 to 8.1, it's maybe not that obvious. Now, the rest of my session, I'm going to show you some specific features of Windows 8.1, but in fact, it's Windows 8. A couple of things were already there since day one. A couple of things have been updated, been optimized, but in general, most features were already there. So that's about it. Now, Windows 8.1 in your enterprise. This is a Microsoft marketing slide. I'm not a marketing guy, but just want to let you know, it's the best business tablet. I mean, having a customer running Windows 7 on a tablet or some kind of non-laptop portable device, I think it's easy to convince him, like, just move to Windows 8.1 on a tablet, because it's not really built for the tablet, but it's like the best operating system for the tablet. Business apps, more and more companies are migrating their in-house business applications to Windows Store apps. So that's also a good shift. Security, bring your own device. Quite a lot of features and demos I'm going to talk about around the handling, talking about bring your own device. It's not like it's the only reason why you should migrate, why your customers should migrate, but I think it's quite important because it's just what customers, what end users, what the market is requesting. Now, the eye catchers, Windows 8.1. First of all, start screen improvements. And again, it's like it will be a mix between Windows 8, 8.1, and a couple of things around 8.1 update. Now, the first thing when you talk to a customer about Windows 8 2 years ago, Windows 8.1, it's like, whoa, it looks totally different. And I don't like the start screen, so I'm not migrating to the ugly start screen. You all got a customer reacting like that? Yeah, I mean. After 2 years, I mean, for me, and again, I'm and you all technical guys, so you're all already using Windows 8.1, and you're familiar with the look and feel. And I think even for you, it's already a bit hard working with Windows 7. Even think back about going back to an XP interface. I mean, it doesn't work anymore. But for your customer, it's just the other way around. So the start screen is very, very important. Microsoft did a few updates on the start screen. It's not really going back to the Windows 7 look and feel. I mean, we've all been waiting. Well, no. Anyone waited for the start button in 8.1? No, me neither. But apparently for a lot of customers, it was like a very important missing feature, the start button. Then Microsoft announced, like, yeah, there's a start button. And then in the end, yeah, it's not the start button that customers wanted. So in probably the next couple of weeks, maybe months, they'll even update the start button again to have it more like the Windows 7, even Windows XP, if you want, look and feel of the start button. So the start screen is very important. Another thing, it's a bit bringing the two worlds together. You got the start screen with all the big buttons and tiles and everything. When you started up Windows 8, the first thing you saw was the start screen. And then you had the desktop. And then customers were complaining, like, yeah, I'm taking my baby steps to Windows 8, and okay, I can live with the start screen because I can go back to my desktop. But it's like it's always shifting back and forth, back and forth. So now within 8.1, you can actually decide by yourself, on a personal device, by group policies, whatever, to specify if you want to start up, when you log on, you go to the desktop or you go to the start screen. So, a couple of changes there. Multi-monitoring support and so on. I mean, yeah, it's all there, but that's not the main topic of my session. 8.1 update. You all installed the update. It's gone public officially last week. Non-officially a few weeks before, but a couple of changes. Power and search on the start menu. Might be important, but again, I wasn't really missing it. But I think for a lot of customers, it's oh so easy. And not because it's only like three clicks less than before. It's handy. So thank you, Microsoft, for that. Another cool integration is your store apps, your Windows apps. Are not really running inside a window, but you got the small program bar on top of it where you can minimize the app or you can even close it if you want. So it's also quite interesting. Application menu, boot to desktop, already talked about. So with that, I'm going to try to do my first couple of demos. So I'm working with remote. So this is a remote Windows 8.1 with update installed. And you can immediately see you get a power button and a search function over here. Now, the power button is there on the full Windows devices. If you're using a tablet device, like an RT, for example, there is no power button. Just for avoiding, because yeah, it's like touchscreen-based, and it might be a bit too responsive, where you by just going over the screen and it's already powering down your system. So that's one of the reasons. There's a registry key where you can unlock the power button when it's back on your RT device or any other specific mobile device. Surface Pro has it, yeah. It's only the RT and then some Venue Dell and So the start screen, I mean, yeah, you all know Windows 8, so I'm not really sure if there's anything really, really specific I can show you. Played with the search function already. It's a bit optimized. So for me, the big guy around this conference is Tony Kräne. So let's just use him as my demo monkey. So just easy going. It's selecting websites based on Bing search, of course. Should be some images over here. Where are my images? Images, okay. Now let's say I want to do, I don't know, a thank you email to Tony or just publishing something on my website about it. Hey, this is Tony Kränen, the IT pro guy in the Netherlands. Well, talking about Mike, you're all IT pro in the Netherlands. I mean, don't try to be offensive here. Now the cool thing is with the search, you got your images, but for example, if, yeah, let's try something. Yellow is my favorite color. And not that many yellow-based pictures from Tony, but you get the message. So it's very intuitive. It's very very easy to use. And again, it's on the start screen. So for end users, it's very easy. One of the things they were and are still missing, and it's only taking 5 seconds to just give them some highlights. When they are on the start screen, they are losing their way around, so they cannot really find their applications. So you all know when you start typing, like control panel, you all know that it's there. And I mean, for us as IT guys, you probably all did the same on Windows 7. Start, run, start typing, and bam, you find your application or your topic you want to go to. It's still the same in Windows 8, but an end user doesn't know that. So just give them, if you install Windows 8 for them or just do a small demo, it's only taking 5 seconds. Just tell them you're on the start screen, you start typing whatever you want, your Word application, even Word files or PowerPoints, whatever application you want to start, just start typing and it will be there. And they get like, cool, that's so easy, right? Anyone had the same demo for their customers? Well, that's one of the easiest things to convince them. Now let me start a Windows up, and I'm sorry for this small ribbon, but it's not that important. So what happens on top of my screen is the, I don't know, official name application bar, where you can close, where you can close and even minimize. So it's not like a full, I wouldn't call it a legacy Windows application, but it's slightly getting there. Again, why? Because closing an application in Windows 8 wasn't that easy. You had to go through the manual, find out that you have to click, go down, and drag it all the way down, and then, oh, okay, it's closing, not really shutting down, it's closing. But again, yeah, end users are so familiar with Windows that they know on the right top bar there are a couple of buttons there. And in Windows 8, there were no buttons. And now, thanks to 8.1 update, the buttons are back. So small demo, 8.1. Now again, it's not about the desktop, it's not about the updates, it's not about the start button. There are a couple of more interesting features. A couple of them, workplace join, work folders. Think again about my bring your own device, which is quite important for end users. MDM, mobile device management. One of the things I can already talk about, there's no demo on that one, so quite easy. In the past, I talk about last three to five years, customers were migrating to other devices, non-Microsoft devices, and businesses had an issue with that because they couldn't take control of that device. Think about iPads, Androids, iPhones, I mean, those kind of devices. So the non-domain joint, non-Windows-based devices. I'm an end user. I got my personal phone. I want to read my business email on that. And then it was a bit depending on your company regulations. Like, here we allow it just out of nothing. We have the features. We have the configurations ready. And we allow you to use business mail on your personal phone. But then somehow they, quite a lot of other companies, they wanted to gain some kind of control of that device. And they were using any mobile device manager for that. Now within the Microsoft space, we had Configuration Manager, and we still have Configuration Manager, of course. Now one of the things is, even before System Center Configuration Manager 2012, there was no real way to manage those non-Microsoft devices. Imagine you have a larger environment where, from a business perspective, you decide, I want to take control of any device that we are using. So we're going to use Configuration Manager, for example, for managing our Windows devices. And next to that, we're going to use some other application for managing our non-Microsoft devices. So it's like two worlds. Now, by using the MDM Open Agent, it's actually the two worlds coming together. Any decent mobile device management solution nowadays is capable of managing Windows 8.1 or the other way around by using Configuration Manager, by using Intune, for example, you can now also control your non-Microsoft devices. So it's like getting more control out of one application. So that's very interesting for your business customers. Automatic VPN, got some few words on that and a demo on that one as well. Application proxy assigned access. Quite a lot of, I think, interesting business features. Workplace join. So I'm continuing my story on the mobile devices. Thinking about Windows 8.1 tablets, RTE-based devices, the ones you cannot really join in your domain as a full domain client. You were, again, as a business person, you were a bit losing your control. By using Workplace Join, you can integrate your non-domain-based devices into your Active Directory domain and getting some control. It's not considered as a full domain-based client, so you cannot really push out group policies, for example, to an RT device. But you can take some kind of control. Pushing, I need a password, a PIN code on the device, or even allowing some kind of single sign-on to folders, to shares from those devices. So it's like a non-domain joint device being considered as you're trusted in my Active Directory network. That's the main idea. So it's for the moment Windows 8.1, 8 and 8.1 and 8.1 update. And they promised 7 and iOS, but after a few months, it's still not there. But that's one of the reasons why you can convince your customer again to migrate to 8.1 devices. So non-domain joint, think about your I-based devices. No control at all, no domain joint devices. On the other side, the full trusted clients, your domain joint clients. And now by using Workplace Join, you got something in the middle. So very interesting. Another cool thing, bring your own device atmosphere around, is work folders. Anyone used or is using work folders already? Okay, not that many. That's good. So now you're going to learn something. So work folders is allowing your in-house, could be in hosting, but your business shared folders, the typical user shared folders, company shared folders, just by using an HTTPS connection outside of your network. So it's like exposing your internal file shares to the outside world. And again, it's secure, it's using HTTPS, and of course your Active Directory username and password. OneDrive. OneDrive for business, all familiar with, yeah, SkyDrive, you all know it's now called OneDrive. It's still the same application, the same hosting model behind it. sorry. OneDrive is more like the personal subscription. So you just go out to onedrive.microsoft.com, register, and you got, I don't know, by default, I think even 2 gigs free space, maybe 7 gigs, I don't know. Sometimes they're throwing out some prizes like an additional 20 gigs, an additional 50 gigs. And then out of the Office 365, you also have OneDrive for Business. So when you talk to customers about, hey, how can I get access from the outside world, my non-domain joint clients, how can I get access to my data? Yeah, you can use VPN, of course, but I mean, we've all been using VPN for the last 25 years. But now there are some newer technologies. And Workfolders is one of them. And OneDrive for Business is another one. So with that, another demo, small one on work folders. So let me go back to my remote Windows client. So work folders is standard integrated in the operating system, so you don't have to install any plugins or something. You can launch it directly as I was doing, or going to the control panel work folders, it's the same. And there you have two options. Or you configure by using your email address, and then it will go out to the internet, and then based on your email domain, you need some DNS registrations and stuff. Or I already prepared some stuff. Quite easy. My domain, and if everything goes fine, seems so. Now this is quite interesting. So I'm connecting my work folders, and again I already prepared some stuff, so it's using a domain username and password. And then when you do the configuration from the server side, you can force a couple of policies to your devices. Like, in my case, it's requiring a password for the device. Why? Because you're actually synchronizing, replicating, maybe confidential, important business data to a public device. We all know about mobile devices. They got lost. They got stolen. So out of the company perspective, you can secure your connection. So it's not only securing the access by using the synchronization, in a secure way, but you can also force a couple of policies like, hey, you need a PIN code and we're going to encrypt the data that's being synchronized. So of course I have to accept. If I don't accept the policies, then I don't have any work folders, quite obvious. Set up my work folders and it started syncing. What's actually happening is on my local machine, it's creating a folder, work folders, and for my user, it's synchronizing my data. It's offline. It's available offline. If I do updates from this side, it will replicate to the server, or, of course, quite obvious, the other way around. Next interesting feature is VPN. You all know VPN? Who's using Direct Access already? Okay. Good. So for the ones who are not using Direct Access, there are some updates in Windows 8, Windows 8.1 around VPN. Talking about 8.1 specifically is integration for non-Microsoft VPN connections. So one of the downsides a lot of companies are faced with is, I'm using Windows 7. I want to migrate to Windows 8.1, but my VPN client isn't ready for 8.1. Or, you had the same when you were running XP and then you moved to Windows 7, and then your VPN software wasn't really ready. Now, one of the things where Microsoft tried to help, at least, is getting in contact with, and these aren't the only ones, but I think the most famous ones, at least in Belgium and maybe in Europe. So one of the things Microsoft has been doing is talking with the major VPN vendors and actually asking, like, hey, can you provide me the bits and bytes of your application and I can integrate it in my Windows 8 operating system? And that's actually what happened. And of course, you can still use the typical Microsoft PPDP VPN connections as well. Besides that, another cool thing, auto-triggered VPN. One of the issues with VPN is, and probably one of the reasons why a lot of customers and you as a partner are migrating to Direct Access, because you don't have to do anything anymore. You fire up your machine, you got an internet connection, whatever kind of connection, cable-based, Wi-Fi-based, 3G-based, whatever. Your device is online, and you get an immediate connection to the backend by using Direct Access. It's one of the best things, because an end user doesn't need to go to start program. Well, there's no start programs anymore. But you still have to fire up your VPN application, maybe entering some kind of passwords, whatever. So by using auto-triggered VPN, it's PowerShell-based, and I'm going to do a small demo on that one as well. You can actually create some kind of policies. When you fire up an application, think about, a CRM application, an accounting application, any business application which really requires VPN. It's the same for the demo I'm going to do is using the remote desktop connecting to one of my customers. And one of the things that I'm always forgetting is, I want to take control of the remote session, start up my remote desktop session, typing the internal server name. and it's not working. Oh, damn, there's a problem at the customer. The server's not directing. Oh, no, you stupid moron. You forgot to start up your VPN connection. So it's for that kind of situation. And me now, I'm talking by my own personal perspective. I always forget to launch the VPN. Now, you can think, yeah, that's actually quite cool. So one of the things is you can configure the policy based on an application, like when you fire up your CRM, PowerPoint, even if you want, RDP, whatever. But then it's like, again, in my situation, having quite a lot of customers, having multiple VPN connections. So when I do RDP, it will fire up that specific VPN, but maybe that's not the VPN I need for that specific customer. So the second option you have is specifying the policy based on DNS suffix. So if I'm connecting to, I don't know, customer or machine.customer.be, it will using VPN connection 1. If I'm connecting to customer.nl, it's taking the other VPN. So it's quite flexible. And another one, yeah, just before my demo, another one is assigned access. Who's using assigned access already? No customers? Okay. Assigned access is like the old kiosk mode. You know, the kiosk mode, like the really stripped down device where you can only start like one, maybe a few applications. But it was really hard to configure by using local machine policies or maybe group policies if you had a few machines. But it's really, really hard to completely lock down the operating system. So now by using assigned access in 8.1, you can really lock down your machine. And it's super easy to configure. How easy? I'll show you in a small demo. So yeah, synchronization, everything is working. So on my machine, again, my remote machine, I have my VPN connection available. So just making sure that it's working. Seems to be okay. So by using PowerShell, and I forgot to copy the comments, so I'm going to make sure that I remember how to configure it. So it's add VPN connection trigger application. A bit slow. The name of my VPN connection and the application ID, which for example is, what's the port for MSTSE? You're all still awake, right? No? Sleeping? Yeah, so it's the exact part of the, in my situation, the .exe file. So it's the .exe file that's actually triggering the application that you're using for starting up the application. Once you start up that .exe file, it will trigger the VPN setting. Once you start it up, it will go out. So it's telling me split tunneling is disabled just for security reasons. You all know split tunneling in VPN. So by default, it's like you want to make a VPN connection, all traffic will go through the VPN connection. So by using split tunneling, it's VPN traffic goes into the tunnel and all the other traffic stays in the normal network connection. So I'll say yes, and then I need to... It's already here, it's just because I already tried it out. Split tunneling is enabled, so I need to enable no. It's really small on my screen here, so it's a bit hard to see where it is. should be enable split tunneling, right, Sammy? One second. Let's try another machine, making sure that everything is working okay. Let's try this. It's what happens if you take the wrong demo machine for doing your demos, right? So now my trigger setting is activated for my VPN connection. And what happens if everything is fine? No, it's not. Why is it doing? My device crashed. It's rebooting. Yeah, must be. No, one of the cool features is that it actually crashed. And it's only taking, like, I don't know, 3 seconds to reboot and having everything up and running again. Well, not completely up and running, so let me quickly go back to my slides. It's always fun when it happens on stage, right? Yeah, me too. So let's see where we are. Talking about VPN and the demo. So that one is live. It's not completely live. Keyboard is back. So I'm quickly starting up my remote connections again. Still doing some stuff in background because it's really, really slow here. So that's my first client, and let's fire up my second one. One more try for the VPN? Yeah, why not? So this one, as I mentioned before, you get some built-in VPN vendor support. So this means you don't have to install the specific VPN vendor application anymore. So they delivered their bits and bytes to Microsoft saying, like, this is our supported kernel for Windows 8.1. So if you are using Juniper firewalls with VPN clients, SonicWall, F5, whatever, you just go through the list, select them, and their specific protocols, components, everything is there and supported. So I'm creating a Microsoft VPN. So it's the backend is actually a WatchGuard firewall. Bless you. But it's supporting the typical Microsoft PPTP connection. I could also install WatchGuard, but WatchGuard has no client for Windows 8.1 yet. So. I missed some characters. That should do it. So the first step is creating my VPN connection. Now let's do this a bit quicker. My VPN. It's called My VPN. My VPN. Why is it so hard? Yeah, it must be. There is no space. Does it really matter? Nope. Wow. One last try, and if not, then I'll continue with some other cool stuff. Okay, that's accepted. But not completely. It's already there, yeah. Well, I know, yeah, I know. But the thing is that once you define the policy, it should actually put a flag here that you can activate or deactivate, that it actually accepts the trigger functionality. So I was just checking if that one is available. Let's try. No, it doesn't do anything. No worries, I got a solution for that, but you'll find out at the end of my session. Hyper-V, let me see on timing, I should be okay. Hyper-V, of course, has been updated in 8.1 as well. It's using the same kernel as server R2, which means it has support for the generation 2 VMs as well. But of course, it's missing a few features that we have on the Hyper-V server, like Hyper-V replica. I mean, it's more like a server functionality. But some other things, VHDX, so the new VHD format, it's all there. So migrating machines from your local client to the backend server, like I did, testing out my machines, putting them up in the cloud. You probably know which cloud, right? So it's all based on VHDX. It's super easy. Another interesting thing is Internet Explorer 11. What's the downside of Internet Explorer 11? You don't see any downsides in Internet Explorer 11? No? Yes, backwards compatibility. Prize for you. It's been too long since I gave away a prize. So backwards compatibility. It's one of the main issues. When I was doing migrations, I don't know, 6, 7 years ago, from XP to Windows 7, it was actually the same issue. You had Internet Explorer 6, and then you were some kind of forced to migrate to 7 or 8, and then you had issues with your web applications. So now, 7 years back and forward in time, we somehow have the same issue again. Customers are still using Internet Explorer 8 like the baseline Explorer. And then we are talking about IE 11, and we got compatibility issues. One of the new features in IE 11 with 8.1 is Enterprise mode. Anyone already using enterprise mode? No one? Cool. So the second thing you're going to learn today. In enterprise mode is an additional functionality of the browser. The easiest way to explain is like compatibility mode, but in a slight different way. But it's too technical. I mean, there's a white paper on TechNet describing in, I don't know, 50 pages what the real difference is between the compatibility mode and enterprise mode. But the thing is, by using enterprise mode, you can control it manually by using an XML file, by setting some registry keys, or even, of course, in a corporate environment by using group policies. You can actually create a list of enterprise-enabled, let's say, compatibility mode-enabled websites. So think about your, I don't know, CRM application that's running in a browser, an accounting application, any web application that's not working on IE 11 by default. You integrate the URL of that application, being the internal one or the public one, if that application is publicly available. You enter it in the XML file. Of course, IT has to control that. There are even some tools around it to consolidate all the update URLs in one application, updating group policies and stuff. But the idea is, once you start up that specific application, it will actually trigger enterprise mode, and it should run in IE 8 compatibility mode. So again, one of the reasons why your customers nowadays can migrate to 8.1. Browser compatibility is integrated, it's supported by using enterprise mode. So just a couple of screenshots, and again, just because it's really, really hard to squeeze everything in one small session. It's based on XML, so just a quick go-through. The XML file is, for example, msdn.microsoft.com. Has to run in compatibility mode. But if, for example, you go to Bing, then it's not. Only if you go to Bing/images, then it has to. So it's really, really flexible. So it's not only on one specific URL. You can create subfolders, specific links, internal ones, public ones, already mentioned. And again, by using a registry key or by using GPO. So let's see if this demo works a bit better. So what I did on my machine is, of course, using the XML file and using the local registry setting. Once it's configured, you fire up the new Internet Explorer session, and you got enterprise mode in your tools menu. So by default, it's not there. You just have to unlock it by using the registry setting. So once I enable enterprise mode, and again, this is like manual, what actually happens is this one. It's not that important, but you can see it's like a company building, so it's showing you are running in corporate business mode. And for the ones who are paying attention to the interesting news on MSDN, you can see that the website is actually looking different. I mean, this was the easiest example to show you. I mean, I don't have any legacy business web applications running by myself. But if I turn it off again, this is the new IE 11 mode of the web page. By using enterprise mode, it's the old IE 8 interface. Interesting feature, right? Mobile device management. Already talked about it a bit in my introduction. So talking about Microsoft environments, there are actually a couple of options you have there. I'm talking about 8.1, but by using, for example, Exchange ActiveSync. And who is not running Exchange? All your customers are running Exchange? Really? All of them? Cool. Now, let's say most of the customers are using Exchange. So by using Exchange ActiveSync, you already had minimal mobile device management since, I don't know, even Exchange 2003, where you could do a remote wipe for the device. It's like factory resetting the device. But it was quite limited. No real policies to force, no like forcing a PIN code or whatever, not really, really possible. Next to that, within the Microsoft application, you had Intune, cloud-based device management or configuration manager. In the past, it was mainly targeted to Microsoft operating systems, Windows XP, Windows 7, Windows 8. But since specifically since SCCM 2012, you also have support for non-Microsoft devices. And quite a lot more options, quite a lot more policies to set. By thinking back about some other topics I already talked about, imagine you have a customer having a mobile device, just name it, it's an iPad. You can take control of that iPad. You can specify, I want to make sure that he cannot install any applications besides business apps. If he's using corporate email on that device, I want to make sure that he's using a PIN code. Those kind of policies. Even, I mean, it's a bit off topic, but even integrating with server R2 file access functionality from the file server, where you can classify data as being corporate data. When you're doing a remote wipe, it's not wiping the device, but you have the option, the flexibility, to only wipe the corporate data. So one of the downsides you had in the past by doing a remote wipe, it's actually wiping the full device. So all your family pictures from parties and weekends and whatever, they're all gone. So now by using the updated features within Intune, SCCM, R2, 2012 R2, I mean, you can specifically, up to a really, really granular level, define you have to wipe the device, but only mail application or only file application. Yes, a question. Mm-hmm. Well, it's one of the options you have. The data itself. Well, I mean, by using a remote wipe, it's the same functionality we had since, I don't know, even Exchange 2003 had it already. You're actually doing a factory reset of the device. But nowadays, you got more specific granular options where you can define, I want to wipe only the corporate data. So imagine I'm having a tablet using the work folders interaction, for example, the thing I showed you before. Yeah, you can specify, okay, the guy is leaving the company, it's his device, and I'm going to make sure that I can only wipe the work folders options. And of course, I'm going to disable the user account and make sure that he cannot sync with Exchange anymore, but I'm not doing a full factory reset. So that's the different options nowadays you have in mobile device management. So it's becoming really, really interesting. So Selective Vive, talked about it a lot. Interested in demo on Intune? We're all familiar with Intune. I was just quickly going to Intune, showing you can actually do a remote wipe. Yeah? Make sure I got some time left, but shouldn't be okay. I'm going to do this one from my local machine, making sure that it stays up and running. So I'm logging into Windows Intune. If you never used Intune before, you can register for free for 30 days. Got a couple of options there. You can buy a subscription for only having the management interface. You can also add an add-on to have an operating system, Windows 8 software assurance built in as well. For, I don't know, by heart, let's say around €10 per month. So it's quite cheap. So I'm in Intune. Again, this is a really, really basic environment. So I have one computer, one mobile device. it's my Surface RT. It's this one. It's active, but not really, really active. So you can see it's been synced last time, like 6 months ago. I'm not really using that device that much. But out of here, I got the retire and wipe option. Now, I didn't really specify any specific settings. So if I would now say OK, wipe the device, then it will do a full factory reset. But you got a few options within Intune. Or even you can think like, yeah, but Intune, it's cloud-based. And I'm already using Configuration Manager for my all other local devices in my environment. As of R2, you can actually integrate the two worlds. So it's like creating a connector between SCCM 2012 R2 and Intune and having the two worlds coming together, even doing management from within SCCM to the Intune world. So it's quite flexible. I'm not going to wipe my device because I need it for my last demo. But just easy. I mean, you go out, you register your device. How can you register a device? You can do it manually or by using the company app. So it's a default app that's being installed on a Windows 8 RT device, for example. So you go to the company app, you enter your username and password, you register against Windows Intune, your company subscription. It will install a small client, and as of that moment, your client is being managed out of your Intune environment, where you can do antivirus updates, for example, doing control, and even doing remote wipe. So normally I didn't need my device, but for some reason I have to use it for my last demo. Very interesting news, site loading. What is site loading? Site loading is the Microsoft mechanism you need for creating Windows apps. So if you're a developer, you want to create Windows apps, you actually have to buy, install, configure a site loading key. It's actually telling your local machine, like, this is a development station, and it allows you to create Windows apps. A couple of interesting things, really recent changes, and really recent, I mean, like, announced last week only. First of all, site loading keys were only working on Windows Enterprise before. As of somewhere last week, if you have an Active Directory domain, and you all and your customers all have Active Directory, right? Site loading keys will also be accepted on Windows 8 professional versions. Isn't that good news? I mean, it's so silent in here. This is great news for your customers. But even more important, any volume license contract enables free site loading keys in a few weeks. Any customer having volume license, thank you, Microsoft, you got your site loading key for free. Now you can think, well, yeah, but what's the big deal about it? It's my last option. Previously, if you didn't have an AD enterprise environment, if you didn't have any volume license environment, like, imagine you're a startup. You come out of school, you took IT classes, development classes, you want to start up your own company. I'm not going to buy a volume license contract because I'm like working on my own, but I really want to develop for Microsoft platform. Okay. The rule was you had to buy a 10-pack, $30. It's like $300 investment. You can think, well, okay, $300 is not that much, but still, it's a barrier for a user, for a company. Not for the enterprise, and those ones are using volume license contracts anyway, but I'm really talking about the small ones, the startups. I want to develop for non-Microsoft platforms. Okay, you can do it. It's free. I want to develop for Microsoft. I have to pay $300. Plus, normally, you buy the MSDN development tools as well, so it's like $5,000 in total. That's quite a lot of investment for the startup company. Maybe the company doesn't know that they will actually return the money, because it's like, yeah, taking development, I don't know, I'm not a developer, but I can imagine even a small application takes a few weeks, maybe months to develop. Even if you want to put it out on the store and try to get a bit of money out of it, I mean, it's like, I don't know, on average, €2 for an application maximum. That's actually quite cool on the the mindset behind the stores. I mean, before the store idea, an application, if you wanted to run an application on our device, we had to buy the license. On average, any piece of software was like at least 100 to a few thousand euro. Nowadays, you go out to the store and you find an application that's like €15, you go, whoa, that's way expensive. Just the way the market is shifting, right? So now you can buy a one-time $100 investment and you get unlimited number of side-loading keys. Very interesting, as of May 1st. Multimedia features, I think the last section for today. Multimedia, again, it's like the closing of my session, so it's not the most important topic. Although on the other side, again, for quite a lot of companies, it's actually becoming very interesting. 3D printer support. 3D printers are not really commodity, but for quite a lot of businesses, it's getting there. Having XP, want to do 3D printing, probably it won't work. Yeah, maybe on the super high expensive, like one of the gentlemen here in front was talking about his customer investing in a machine, €100,000. Yeah, probably you can do 3D print. Imagine it's a 3D printing machine, but it's €100,000. Nowadays, you can buy a 3D printer for, I don't know, anything between 1,500 and maybe €3,000, creating like cool, even quite large objects. It's like plug and play with Windows 8. You have the 3D printer, you connect it, and it's working. Same goes with Wi-Fi direct printing or NFC tap-to-pair printing. And again, think about bring your own device. I got my personal device. I'm not connecting to the net. Well, I'm connecting to the company network, but I don't have any domain joined client, which means it's not really that easy to install a printer because printers are published in AD, maybe pushed by logon scripts, group policies, whatever. So if I want to go out to my printer, yeah, I somehow have to log on to that printer, but I'm not using a company device. I mean, you all know that kind of problems, right? So by using NFC printing, it's super easy. You buy NFC tags. I mean, it's not even €1 for a tag. You attach it to the printer. You take your Windows 8 tablet. You go to the device. Printer got connected, and you can print. Easy as that. Super cool. And last one, Miracast support. Miracast, anyone familiar with Miracast? iPad TV? Yeah, okay. Who doesn't know iPad TV? Well, it's about the same idea. So the thing is, Miracast is actually some kind of wireless protocol developed by Intel. And you can actually connect to a Miracast host. So it's like a small box. And I have one box here. So this unit, not even sure anymore about the price, way cheap. It's, I think, $60 something. So it has a HDMI connector and, of course, a power connector. So by using Windows 8 8.1, specifically 8.1, has Miracast support built in. So it means you buy the box, you connect it, you start up your Windows 8 machine, and it will find the device. Don't need to install any drivers, don't need to install any specific applications. It will just work. Let's hope. And that's why I needed this one. It's supposed to work on the Surface Pro, of course, but for some reason, I messed up my connection. And it wasn't allowing me to connect. If I remember correctly. So my box HDMI is connected to this really fancy, cool switch box here. So just connecting out of my Windows device, cannot really show it because I don't have any video connector for this one. You go to your, well, I can show it here, but it won't connect, but it doesn't matter. So go to your devices, project. Sorry, my mistake. It's too fancy for me. So you go to devices, project, different display, and it will go out and find my SBWD, that's my Miracast device. You do connecting, then it will ask you to enter passcode. It's like connecting a Bluetooth device in your car, for example. But for some reason, it's connecting and then it's failing. So if I switch back, you can see what's happening on the other screen. So it's creating a connection. And then it says connected, and then for some reason it's failing. But on the other one, it was working, so let's see what happens. Not much. So I'm going to kill this one. Maybe it's interfering with the other one. So I'm going to try to do the same on this one again. I'm just rebooting the box, so making sure that it's not trying to connect to any other devices anymore. System loading. But imagine you can use this one as a remote display for doing presentations. Even if you're traveling a lot like I am, sitting in a hotel room, instead of just watching a movie on the really, really small screen. So it found the device again. It says connecting here. So let's wait a few seconds, find out what it's doing. So you can just have your tablet device connect a little box to the TV in the hotel room, and that's about it. Or even in corporate environments, I think most companies already have like the big 40, 50-inch TV monitor anyway they are using maybe for video conferencing. You don't need any whiteboards anymore to display. So you can normally use the cool device. It's too early for the demos. So it found it, but it can't connect. I don't know why. So with that, I got a few minutes left. Well, not even a few minutes, only like 1 minute and a bit. So think about the word cloud, my second slide with all the 81 features. I talked about the red ones. So not really talked about 81 features. Anyone having an idea how many features I mentioned for my last two prizes? 81, yeah, sure. Any guess? 15? 20? 8.1. 30, going up. Why, it's close to 40. So you got a small prize for you. Book or beer? Book, cool. No beer drinker? No? Anyone in for a bottle of beer? No? Yeah, okay, cool. Now, I promised you 81 features in 81 minutes. I got like 18 seconds left, which is pretty cool. Now, what happened with the other 34 I didn't mention? And what about my other 6 minutes? First of all, the 81 minutes was just to have a cool session title. Now, next to that, I promised you 81 minutes, so I have to give you something back. So what I did, I put up descriptions, procedures about all my demos. Not all information is yet up there, but it will be in the next couple of days. But for example, how to configure workplace join, how to configure work folders, how to normally use the VPN, how to trigger in a normal way. So all my demo scripts and how to configure it from the backend, it's all there. And that's how I can complete my last 6 minutes, because normally, let's say, for the work folders, I would normally show you this is how you configure it on the server side, and that's how it looks like on the client. So just making sure that it fits in my 75 minutes, I had to find a workaround for that. So I hope you all go out. It's on the public OneDrive. So I hope you all go out to that one, finding the procedures. Let me know by Twitter, by email, if you have any questions, if it's not working in your environment. And again, for Tech Days in general, please fill out evaluations. It's important for me as a speaker, important for the organization, important for Microsoft as a company. We as presenters, we live for the evaluations. Even if it's bad evaluation, it's still good evaluation. So with that, for me, I'd like to thank you. Even for this early hour, thank you for being here. I know it's taking quite a lot of effort for you. I'm sorry that not all my demos ran smoothly, but you've seen a crash of a Windows 8.1 device being recovered in less than 5 seconds. So I think that's also cool.